cross before the night. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
I go, oh, gee, I had a great life. I mean, I got to interview Dr. Billy Graham. I got to interview U.S. presidents. I got to interview these people. I mean, I fell into this thing, and then all of a sudden, whew, it's 30 years.
Yeah.
And the same with being a doctor. Now you're 56.
You got to enjoy what you do. And I wake up
a few weeks ago, you were in here, I think in your late 20s, maybe early 30s, when we first knew each other.
Early 30s.
And, you know, I mean, you know. Jeez.
Yeah, you blink it, it's over. And, you know, I'm looking at the when's my career? You know, my career's changing. But, you know, when I looking at, you know, who works with us and how that works, yep. You've got to do the right thing by people. And if you don't, then you're not going to stay in my office.
For some reason, integrity is its own reward. I've known people that prosper. The greatest ones are people that maintain an integrity and putting the person dignity, you know. I've been trying to tell me what you think about this. I've been working on this book about dignity. And some lady out here walked by me, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and she didn't smile. And I thought, I wonder why she doesn't smile. I said, well, she might be homeless or something. So she didn't think she had anything to give me. She didn't know. She didn't have enough self-dignity to know I might be on my way to commit suicide. And I'm going to put this story in my book. My friend David Usher is a lifelong friend. This guy, I told him a few months back, he said he was on his way to the Green Island Bridge in Troy, New York, to commit suicide. Well, right before I moved out of Troy, New York, there was a lawyer. He was 61 years of age. He went to the Green Island Bridge. He put rocks in his pockets and jumped off and killed himself. So I took this very real. So the guy says, I won't commit suicide if somebody says hi to me and talks to me. So he gets all the way to the Green Island Bridge that night. Nobody's talking to him. He's just about to do it, and some old guy comes along and validates him as a human, starts talking to him. The old man may never know he saved that guy's life. We all, even people think they have to have political power or monetary power. What I want to get across to people is to realize that's all extras. Everybody's born with the power to give. Like in traffic, you have the power to let that person out. You know how much somebody goes by and they don't let me out, and I go, oh, "You just lost out. You could have had a great day." And you know, one time I remember I was coming out west of town. They're doing some contractual work on the roads, and I came out. Oops, I took the wrong way. I'm going to be here forever. And this guy in a pickup truck, old pickup truck, starts blinking his bright lights and lets me out. I literally started crying that day. I needed that. I needed to get where I was going, and that act of kindness just minister to my heart. And the next thing you do is you're kind to somebody else. You look down the street and see they're letting somebody else out.
Mm-hmm.
And
just be nice to people. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, you know, do unto others as you do unto yourself. I mean, so when I hire people now, I have two things that I say in an interview with every single person that we hire. And I meet everybody we hire in my office. As I said, there's two things that you have to do to be successful here. That's it. Just two. Very easy. You got to show up. You got to show up. I don't tolerate people not showing up. Acceptable to me. And I practice what I preach. If I miss work, they know I'm pinned under a truck or something's happened. Seriously. I go to work. If I have surgery on a Friday, I go to work on Monday. This notwithstanding what I had done recently, I couldn't work, but I have always, I never miss work. I have an obligation to the people that are on a schedule to see me. Yes. They've made arrangements in their day and they have scheduled things. And for me to cancel those things, I don't ever take lightly. And I said, the second thing is you have to have a good attitude. You have to be nice to people. I said, I just can't, we're not going to have bad attitudes around
you. Don't you hate it when you walk into a doctor's office and they act like they're doing a favor for you?
Not acceptable to me. You have to be nice to people.
Especially when you're vulnerable, you're hurting, you're sick, maybe you're having problems. The person, the greatest advertisement or endorsement you can get is the people at the person at the front door. They don't realize how power they have. Your receptionist can make somebody's day.
Well, and so interestingly enough, I had this conversation with someone who's been with me over 20 years now. When she first joined me, she was pretty rough. She'd come from another office and she just had a rough edge about her. And I sat down there. I said, look, she said, well, that patient was mean to me. They weren't nice. And I said, you are representing me. So I said, when you answer the phone or you greet someone, they're not looking at your name. They're saying, Dr. Mallon's office was rude to me. So when they go out to dinner and they're having dinner with eight friends, they said, Dr. Mallon was rude. It boils, it comes to that. Dr. Mallon's office is rude. I said, that is not ever going to happen. I said, you are the Marines. You're the first ones in. You're going to take shrapnel. You're going to take all of the worst stuff. And I said, you have to be tough like a Marine or you can't do the job that you're doing.
What they need to learn is the power of controlling your emotions. This summer, I was, and I didn't know this was legal. I told this story in a room where there was a retired police officer from California. And I said, well, the traffic comes down the mountain in Vermont, and that was all bumper to bumper, but there was no traffic coming from the left. So I went across the street blocking it. Should someone come from the left, I was blocking. He says, oh, no, that's legal. That's called owning the road. That's legal. No one's coming. You can own it. Well, this guy comes along, a young guy with a beard and his little yellow, little white Chevrolet. Honk, honk, honk. He's being, you know, rude to me. Now, in the past, I might have gotten angry, but I realized the Lord wants me to serve everybody. So I come around, my window's down. He's thinking I'm going to yell at him. And I said, maybe you ought to consider giving other people dignity first, you know? His mouth dropped. This guy's not yelling. I'm telling him to have dignity. And I drove away being really happy that I control my emotions. And then I said, and what could have I done better? Lord, what could have I done better? And I said, I know it. Next time I'm going to say, not only, you know, you could cultivate giving people dignity. It's fun to give people dignity. It's fun to put people above yourself. And I said, I could say to the person, hey, it's okay. You need to learn dignity. By the way, you know, here's my name. I'm Rhett Palmer. I live down there on Pleasant Street in the summer. You come see me. You got a friend. I love you. And drive off. Go nuts. I don't know what to do. But you can kill them with kindness.
Sure you can.
And, you know, and have you ever had a situation where you're irritable and someone was nice and you thank God that you didn't let off on them and they become your best friend?
Sure.
And so everybody's kind of, but all of us
nice,
are going
being
through
nice
stuff.
To people. And people coming into a medical office, they may have, maybe they're, you know, a lot of my patients are older. Maybe their spouse just died. Maybe they've got some, they just got a bad diagnosis. I mean, you just don't know where someone's coming from.
No.
But just being nice to people. And I said, you know, that's what I told her. I said, you're the Marines and you have to take shrapnel. And yeah, when they come around to the office and they get back and they see me, they're sweet as honey. But that's not for you to make the determination.
Well, I will
you
say
have to
this.
Be nice.
I will say this. When I go in somewhere, like I don't know if I'll be going to Starbucks anymore because of some recent things they did. But you go in there and say, hi, how are you? And if I go in the regular, hi, Rhett, you know. And, wow, I count, you know. Or they say, let's say there's a long line, we'll be with you. Now, they ignore me. I'm sitting there being ignored. That just really grates on me. But they say, sir, I'm sorry we're busy, but we will be with you shortly. Oh, I've been acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm a human being. Sorry you're having to wait long to see Dr. Mallon. But, you know, we're happy you're here. And would you like a bottle of water, you know? And
most of the people, you know, and I don't like, I mean, there are things in medicine that patients don't understand. They don't understand the concept of or the why things end up happening where someone waits a long time. Sometimes it happens. You know, it just, I mean.
You're in with another patient.
Well,
and
here's,
your attention.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. And most of my patients who have been with me, and I've got a lot of patients I've seen for isn't my entire career here. They grew up with me. They knew me before I got married, before I had children. And they don't care. They will be, they understand and they know me. They know that if I'm not in the room with them, I'm with somebody else
right.
And I'm spending it whatever time. So I tell patients this, I will never short someone the amount of time they need for me. And sometimes I'll be in a room with someone for 45 minutes.
I've been there
and they
and
were
I've
scheduled,
been the guy waiting.
They were scheduled for five,
yep.
But they needed 45 because maybe their wife just died or maybe they've got a bad diagnosis or they need me to schedule them for something else or whatever it may be. But I'm totally in that room. And I don't really, when I'm in the room with a patient, I don't even know what's going on outside that room.
Well, you're a fear conqueror because I can remember when I was a kid and I had tonsillitis a lot and a 16-year-old kid, 15, whatever, I go in to see the doctor. Suddenly, just waiting in that little room, I felt better. The psychology because, oh, someone's going to be here to take care of me. I said, geez, I almost don't feel sick anymore.
Yeah.
And you know that, you could poo-poo that, but you're a fear killer. People want, oh, it's going to be okay. I'm here, and I'm here to serve you. And
most people appreciate that because they know if they got stuck waiting because I got stuck with someone for 40 minutes before your appointment. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that's the way. Yeah. But I'm not shorting anybody and cutting them off and saying, I got to go because I got somebody waiting.
Now you have my total attention.
Yeah, and they know that. And I think that's what most, my loyal patients value that. If someone doesn't value that, and they're going to, you know, get online and complain they waited to see me at my office. Don't come see me again. I'm okay with that. Maybe I'm not the doctor for you. And that's okay. You know, there's different
flavors.
I've
read in the Bible where Jesus never turned anybody down and was never rude and never judged. He was loving, and he what would be the right words I'm trying to grope for here? But he just recognized everybody as valid. And Paul, of course, said, esteem others greater than yourself. What's really cool is as you get older, when you have, like, somebody's done something wrong, something, I have the power. Like, they could be giving me a finger or something in the car next door. Maybe I did something wrong. I just look forward. I put two fingers up, which represents peace. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to get pulled in. I learned from a friend of mine, Jimmy. He's a former cop from New York City, retired down here. He said, somebody throws you a ball. You throw it back, you're in the game. Just don't throw it back. Don't return evil for evil. I had a guy yelling at me once. King Solomon wrote that a soft answer turns away wrath. So I had actually had a client years ago yelling at me, and I'd learned the scripture that said a soft answer turns away wrath. I let him vent. If you don't return it, sooner or later his sales get empty.
Well, you don't have to. Down. You don't have to participate in every argument you're invited to.
You don't have to participate.
Yeah, you don't have to.
No.
Sometimes it's necessary, and sometimes it is necessary.
It's really empowering.
It is.
When you can control your emotions and,
I had a great lecture, great class in undergrad at Michigan State. Guy was kind of a hippie dude, and it was a psychiatry class. And I learned so much from that class. I love it.
Was it the hippie that was teaching?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I could remember his name, but it was a great class. And just talking about how to interact with people. And he was a big believer in energy and how you take on someone's energy. And it was a little bit, you know, out there, yeah. But I liked it. And I use a lot of the things he taught in that class when I interact with people, just socially and psychology, using the psychology of it. I never am above a patient. I never sit higher than a patient. I always look up at a patient. He talked about that, you know, looking up and having someone looking down at you. That's a powerful position.
Yeah.
So I always make sure that I am lower than my patients when I'm talking to them. But also,
which, by the way, King David, in the days of old, he was the judge. You came in to get judgment. He would sit on the ground with a little stool in front of him, which was his desk, and he would do from there, looking up at the person. Mm-hmm. Never. You know, we should esteem others greater than ourselves. And there's great power in that. Continue.
Well, and he talked about, you know, if someone's coming at you with bad energies, he's talking about tap your foot. The energy just runs through you. And it's kind of it's just sort of these little foofy things. But he's right. You know, a lot of those things, like not letting someone's energy, this negativity, come at you and just, you know, let it brush off.
They might come into your office. You're an eye surgeon, Dr. Mallon, and they might be filled with fear. Because I've known that. You're scared.
Sure.
It's like, I think the humblest job in the world is being a waiter or a waitress.
Yeah.
People come in irritable when they're hungry. And yet they'll be a sweetheart later on when they get their rolls and butter, you know. But
I've always talked to, you know, when I've talked to other doctors about how you handle, you know, difficult patients.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
So long, politics, it's time to start.